Blog Talk Radio.
If you find yourself in trouble, count on me, my friend. I'll get right up in trouble's face. You won't see him again. I've got the backbone, American. I've got the heart, American. I've got the will, American. Will you stand up, don't sit down? Stand up, don't back down. Stand up, shout it out. Stand up, let's make it loud. American, American.
Welcome to another exciting show with Southern Sense on Blog Talk Radio. So turn up the volume and enter our chat room, or grab your phones, call in, and join the conversation. Help us to restore the republic to this country and inspire the majority to be silent no longer.
Well, look me straight in the eye. Tell me what you see. I'll tell the truth every time. Yes, you can count on me. I've got the backbone, American. I've got the heart, American. I've got the will, American. Will you stand up? Don't sit down. Stand up, don't back down. Stand up, shout it out. Stand up, let's make it loud. American, 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 American.
Well, good afternoon to another exciting episode of Southern Sense here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your hostess with the mostest, the radio chick, Annie, along with my coolest of all co-hosts, Cool Mike. Good afternoon, Cool Mike.
Good afternoon, hostess with the mostest. Definitely glad to be here on a Friday, and definitely excited about our guest.
Absolutely. For those that are listening in, we were supposed to have Xander Demos on, and unfortunately at the 11th hour, literally 11 p.m. last night, I got the message he was not going to be able to make it. He got called into a special meeting at the same time the show was going on. So instead, we're going to have someone that's going to be stepping in to his shoes for him and filling in for him, an absolutely phenomenal lady. But before we get into that, I want to do, as you know, we start off every show with a dedication to one of our fallen heroes. And I want to do another one here today. And also, I have gotten in today's newspaper an absolutely wonderful article to another hero with an amazing sense of humor. And I want to talk about that before we bring our guest in. How's that sound, Mike?
Well, you're the boss. Let me tell you just a quick comment. I'm not sure how it is we ended up with Vanessa, but we are glad she is here, because anybody should Google her. She is stunning. This lady is a princess. So too bad for the guy who couldn't make it, and good for us. So go right ahead.
Oh, absolutely, because our guest Vanessa is not only an angel to look at, but she's got the voice of an angel, too. As to our dedication, this is a Marine by the name of, Lance Corporal Osbrany Montes de Aco. And he was killed in action on February 10th of this year in Helmand Province. And I'm just putting my notes together here, just so forgive me if I'm fudging here a little bit. Osbrady Montes Diaco, 20, was killed February 10th in the Helmand Province. He is buried at Holy Cross Cemetery. A line of several hundred people snaked down the sidewalk outside of Paro Funeral Home across from the church Sunday for the North Arlington Natives public viewing. Governor Chris Christie ordered flags to be flown at half-mast in Montes Diaco's memory on Tuesday, February 14th, Valentine's Day. Montes Diaco was assigned to the 2nd Battalion, 6th Marine Regiment, 2nd Marine Division, Marine Expeditionary Force that was based out of Camp Lejeune in North Carolina. Now, this is an article printed in his hometown paper, and it's dateline North Arlington, New Jersey. The men in the photos are mirror images of one another, twin brothers in crisp blue uniform of the Marine Corps. Inseparable on the streets in North Arlington, Osbrady and Osmani Montes Diaco enlisted a little more than a year ago, shortly after graduating high school. They wanted to serve their country and fight those who would harm it, they told family members. Together, they went off to war in Afghanistan. The Department of Defense gave word that only one would be coming home alive. Lance Corporal Osbrady Montes Diaco died February 10th, 2012, in Helmand Province. He was 20. They were always talking about the Marines, and Uncle Adriano Morita said outside the family home. It's what they always wanted to do. The twins' passion for the Corps persuaded their older brother, 22-year-old Sandro Morita, to enlist a few months after them, relatives said. He has not yet been deployed. Both surviving brothers were en route to North Arlington. Adriana Morita said a third brother is a student at North Arlington High School. The Department of Defense provided no details about Montes Diaco's death, saying only that he died while supporting combat operations. Family members, their eyes red-rimmed, said they were not ready to speak about the incident or to talk at length about Montes Diaco, who trained as an infantry mortarman. Based in Camp Lejeune, North Carolina, he was assigned to the 2nd Battalion, 6th Marine, 2nd Marine Division. On his Facebook page, Montes Diaco poses in uniform with his girlfriend, who he calls the love of my life, and writes, I do have a future. I am a United States Marine. An aunt who provided only her first name, Teresa, said Montes Diaco spoke often of his desire to fight for his country in the Marine Corps. He truly loved what he was doing, she said. Another relative, an older woman, began to cry as she cradled family photographs of the two middle brothers. Twins, she repeated. Twins. Across the street from the home, at the Traicion de Peru restaurant, employees Carmen Mendoza recalled seeing the brothers frequently around the neighborhood before they enlisted. They were always together, Mendoza, 23. They're lovely guys, handsome. She said their mother, Miriam, runs a hair salon next to the restaurant. A memorial wreath hung from the door of the Montes Diaco home Monday, the wind tugging at the ribbons, which someone had written, Osbrady, and rest in peace. A small American flag was tucked into the arrangement. Montes Diaco is the 42nd service member with ties to New Jersey to be killed in Afghanistan since the war began in 2001. An additional 102 service members from New Jersey have died in Iraq since 2003. Adriano Morita, the brother's uncle, said his nephew seemed too young to die in a war. 20 years old, his voice tinged with grief. He was just a little kid.
Wow.
Well, in that case, just give me a few minutes here. I'm going to play My Name is America by Todd Allen Harrington, and we'll be back in a moment.
grip of oppression. I fought for my liberty. I paid with the blood of my people. Freedom has never been free. Now my door's always open to dreamers and friends. But when I'm attacked, I protect and defend. Because my name is America, I stand proud and free. My name is America, don't tread on me. I cannot be broken, I cannot be shamed. If you hurt me, I'll get stronger, and I'll rise up from the flames. Taken from others, others gave it to me. They believe in the virtues I stand for, my respect for humanity. Now I'm challenged by tyrants who envy my power, but their vicious deeds become my finest hour. Because my name is America, I stand proud and free. My name is America, don't tread on me. I cannot be broken, I cannot be shamed. If you hurt,
My Name is America by Todd Allen Herndon, and you can get his music and watch this video at toddallen.com. And we're back. Our guest is going to be Vanessa Feltner, along with our co-host, the coolest of all cool mics. You know, Mike, it's
you,
not easy when I do those things. Towards the end, I end up starting to cheer up and cry and just hard to read the words through tears.
Well, I mean, we're doing tributes. We do tributes to our wonderful heroes. I know very few shows do them, but I think it's not only awesome. And you know what, Annie, like we said, we say this repeatedly. These people are more than just soldiers to us. You know, they're our brothers and sisters, our sons and daughters, our aunts, our uncles, parents, grandparents, and very good friends. So it touches us also to a side note. Several members of the Sopranos cast and crew were at his funeral because he was a huge Sopranos fan, and they sent, while he was shortly there, they sent DVDs and magazines autographed and stuffed because
Wow.
he was a very big Soprano. Yeah, he was a very big Soprano. As a kid, I mean, as a little kid, he He actually got to be like at a the show one time had a carnival, so he got to be like the little kid running around at the carnival. Anyway, that's a great note. And well, sucks to be the guest who couldn't make it, because with us now, you want to go ahead and bring on Miss Vanessa?
Sure. We have with us Vanessa Feltner. She's a Christian singer, and she is currently in Japan. So it's something like about 3 o'clock in the morning out there. So she's calling in via Skype with her little bunny slippers on. Good morning or good evening, Vanessa?
It's good morning here. That's Ohio Gazimus.
You are from Dayton, correct?
Yes, I am.
Oh, God. Sorry to hear that. But anyway.
Well, my co-host, Cool Mike, is up in Michigan. He's calling in at Michigan. I'm down here in South Carolina. And our chat room is really filling up. I want to welcome everyone aboard. Vanessa, you want to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, I was raised in gospel music by my father, Charles Feltner. He was a very prominent gospel songwriter and singer. He wrote a very famous song. I don't know if you're familiar with it, the song I'll See You in the Rapture. But all the gospel groups in the Southern gospel market recorded that song, and it's pretty worldwide now. So he taught me how to write. He taught me how to sing. He stood over me and made sure I learned how to write a song correctly. So he set me on this path. He's completely responsible.
Uh-oh. Is that a good path?
It's a good path. It's a wonderful path. I wouldn't trade it for anything.
Right, and you're currently in Japan. What are you doing over there?
Actually, I sing and I play the piano, and I do many things. I'm in the ministry, of course, you know that. I sing at churches. Like, I just, on the way here to Japan, I stopped in Seoul, Korea, and I sang at Pastor Hirata's church 2 services. And then I came here, and I'm doing a concert series here at the Grand Hyatt in Fukuoka. And I'm also singing at Mount Fuji. There's a concert there, another Christian concert. I'll be going there after I leave this hotel. And then back to Korea, to Pastor Hirata's, and then home.
Ah, you will be home in the United States soon one day, though. Because I was looking at your bio, and it looks like you hardly spend any time here at all. You're all over the globe.
That's been my life for the last 22 years.
It sounds pretty exciting, pretty exciting. Tell us a little bit about your dad, because I see he was a songwriter, but he was also, was he also in the ministry?
He was a gospel music evangelist. I remember as a child him holding me while he sang on the platform with this gospel quartet of his, the Southern Airs Quartet. They were very popular in the Midwest, the tri-state area especially. And so I was brought up around hearing Southern gospel music and hearing my dad sing all the time. Sunday morning, the radio was turned on to the Christian radio station, or else he was playing LPs at that time, you know. And so I just came up around gospel music, having a great love for it. That's why I do it now.
Well, I'm glad that you have been able to join us, you know, despite our little technical difficulty earlier on.
Me too. I'm so happy that you asked.
All right.
So what's Vanessa, what's it like there? I mean, I've always, I've always been fascinated, kind of. My father was in Japan, but of course that was during World War II. I don't know how long you've been there, but what are you doing? What do you do for fun? And what's kind of wow about the culture and that kind of stuff?
Well, I'm very drawn to the traditions of the Asian countries, and Japan is just full of tradition. And the people here are so incredibly gracious and kind, and they have distinct mannerisms about them. But I've been in Asia for so long, if I was in a crowd with different people from different countries in Asia, I would know who they were just by their mannerisms. Japanese people they just have a very graciousness about them, and their temples and the kimonos and the samurai. I mean, I love this country so much. I could live here forever.
Oh, wow. What's some other interesting countries that you've been to?
Oh, geez, I've been in Japan cumulatively 6 years, I think, and Korea 5 years. I attended Pastor Joseph Prince's church in Singapore for about 4 months, I think. Thailand, Vietnam, China. Then I was in the United Arab Emirates for a couple of years also, and then in Europe. I have to back up to see, for a long time, I wasn't a Christian and I wasn't in church, so I performed in five-star hotels as a pianist vocalist. So, but when my father got sick, I rededicated my life to Christ and went back to singing gospel music and being in the ministry. So that started when I started attending Pastor Joseph Prince's church in Singapore. So now God is using all of my contacts from all of these years in the secular world in the ministry. It astounds me. I took my CD to a friend of mine who's a Buddhist in Korea and gave it to him. And within minutes, he said, well, my best friend, he's the owner of the Christian radio, Christian record company here. He had me in the studio within 2 weeks recording there. You know, it's just astounding to watch how God is using the people that that I have met over the years in the secular world.
Well, now you said something interesting. You said you weren't a Christian. Does that mean that you completely renounced your faith, or is it just that you weren't practicing?
I wasn't practicing it. I was young, and I was very hurt by some people in the church. You know, that's why I always tell people, you have got to be so very careful how you treat people, especially the Christian people that you attend church with. You know, you could be the cause of them to quit. And me being young as I was, that happened. And I completely turned my back on God, on church, on everything. And I went to the other side of the world and started singing in five-star hotels for like 22 years.
That's interesting.
And I really didn't start to even change. I mean, I never stopped praying. Let me clarify that. But I did not live the Christian life at all. I find it amazing now that I'm coming back to the very country that I sang in lounges. And I'm singing Christian music. And here's an example. I'm here at the Hyatt in Fukuoka. And this is a secular environment. Yet, this hotel put me on a secular radio station, and I was interviewed, and they played my Christian music. And they have sold probably 300 Christian CDs to non-Christian people in this hotel.
Wow, wow.
To me, that is an amazing witness. It's a ministry within itself.
Well, then, you know, in that case, I'm looking at one specific song of yours that I want to play. And I think it falls directly into what you just said. It's called No Dust Is Gonna Settle on My Shoutin' Shoes. And if people don't jump up and start shouting and singing with this, then they're tone deaf. All right. Let me play this one for you, Vanessa. All right. This is Vanessa Belcher's song. It's cut number 5 on her album, No Dust Is Gonna Settle on My Shoutin' Shoes. Here we go. Vanessa Feltner, No Dust Is Gonna Settle on My
Dang.
Shouting Shoes.
Dang, Vanessa rocking the house right there. Oh, man.
That's my combination of Southern Gospel, Black, and Pentecostal, and me.
Wow. Are you, Vanessa, do you still, doing my research, I think you were associated, was it Rick Hendrick's company, or maybe that's wrong, but like...
Yes, I was. He did two songs for me, radio releases. Okay.
You Are Holy?
Did God Will Provide, which charted 72.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it was definitely his company.
Okay. Man, you got some good... That's some good music. I listened yesterday, and I lost track of time. I was listening. So when you were growing up, I lost track of time because I was listening to the music early in the morning. But when you grew up in Ohio, like what age did you start like feeling the direction and just feeling that passion?
Well, this is no exaggeration. When I was barely walking, my dad. He had me in front of a microphone on the platform, and he told me that when I was 4 years old, I sang my first song in church, and it was a Christmas play. I think it was Away in a Manger, and he had me join his group. Geez, how old was I? I think I was like 15 years old. I was singing professionally by then. I've sung all my life.
Dang, that is amazing.
That is absolutely amazing. Yeah, tell us a little bit more about your dad. You know, what else did he do besides, singing in the church?
Dad wrote songs. I mean, that was his passion, to write music and sing gospel music. He held down a job to support the family, but his life and his great love was God, gospel music, and family. And that's what he did his entire life.
Yeah,
and that's where I learned everything from. You know, it was from him.
Well,
I remember him standing over me when I first started writing music, and he would say, "Vanessa, keep it simple. Keep it simple. The more you have to write a hook that a child can remember and repeat. Now that's a commercial song." And he stayed after me to make sure. And right up till he got sick and he passed away, he would change my lyrics. Changed my song title, and you know what? I didn't say a word. It was my dad, and he knew better than me, so I would just say, okay.
I'm looking at some of the credits to your father that you sent me. You had people recording his music, such as the Dixie Melody Boys, the Cooks, the Goodmans, the Kingsmen. Kingsmen are really big. A lot of people have been recording his stuff. How many songs did he ever write? Do you know?
Actually, I really couldn't tell you. I know that everybody has recorded his songs, and they're even on the airplanes now. I got the last royalty statement. I was so, so surprised to see that I'll See You in the Rapture is being played on the airline. I mean, can you imagine? I remember when I got this book, it was 666, and I read it. And I pestered my dad. I followed him around the house with this book, asking him to read it. It was about a man and a woman, a married couple. He was not a Christian. She was a Christian. And the rapture took place. And he came home. He couldn't find his wife. And he walked into the bedroom. And she had written a note that says, "I will meet you at the rapture." And he found this note. And he knew that the rapture had taken place and his wife was gone. And finally, Dad agreed to read the book. I think I just wore him down. And he read it, and he said that just jumped out at him, and he switched it from "I will meet you in the rapture" to "I'll see you in the rapture," because he said he was going to be a participant. And this song has gone all the way around the world, and now they're playing it on the airlines. I just can't get over that at all. I mean, multiple airlines, not just one airline, multiple airlines, along with another song he wrote called A Mother's Prayer. And I wish he was alive to know that, you know, but his song has done such great, great things. It's such an incredible promise anyways, you know, that we're going to be able to see him again in the rapture if we are Christians, if we live according to God's will, when this life on earth ends for us, we will get to go to heaven and we'll get to see our loved ones again. And if we're still alive when the rapture takes place, we're going to see him again that way too. So it's a great promise that song. It will live on forever.
Wow. Well, you sent me a bunch of songs, which I uploaded. It was a little tricky because some of them I had to convert to MP3s, but I got all seven up here. And I guess in a way you say that, in a way, your life has been moving on because of your faith, which is why I want to play this next song, which is called I'm Moving On. How about that?
I love that one.
Okay. This is Vanessa Felter, and her song is called I'm Moving On. Here we go. Vanessa Feltner, I'm Moving On. And we're here with our guest, Vanessa Felter. You're listening to Southern Sense here on Blog Talk Radio, along with my co-host, Cool Mike. And our call-in line is open if you want to call in. It's 917-889-3675. Vanessa, welcome back.
I have a question. I have a question, if it's okay. I'm still singing the song, actually. Vanessa, is there any – you've obviously been doing this for a while – is there any one particular place that you really, really, really enjoy, maybe a little bit more than the others, or a certain moment where, as when you sing, obviously you get the feeling and the rush and the passion. One place that maybe just overwhelmed you with strength from Christ. I mean, just two questions, and I'll let you answer.
Well, I have to say that Japan was the first country that I went to on my own to actually perform in. So I have a very great love for Japan. I will tell you, I don't know how you, if you believe in prophecy or not, but 2 days before I left last year to come to Japan, and this is an amazing story. The pastor of the church in Ohio called me forward to pray for me, and he prophesied over me and told me that I was going to sing for presidents and kings. And 2 days later, I arrived here at the hotel, and the food and beverage director, Daryl Thong, walked up to my table and said, "Vanessa, I hate to inconvenience you, but the King of Jordan is here, and King Abdul, and he would like a private concert." And this was going to be secular music, okay? So I said, well, I remember the prophecy, and I was just blown away. And I went to do the show, and I did one 30-minute secular program, and I came off the stage, and they stopped me. And they asked me, "What is different about your voice?" And I looked at him, and I said, I knew he wouldn't understand about anointing and things like that, so I said, "It's gospel music, it's Christian music." And he said to me, "Would you sing us one of these Christian songs?" Now, understand, this is a king, and he's a Muslim. So I was just astounded by watching a prophecy come to fruition within 2 days' time. So I prayed all the way back to the stage and asked God to please heavily anoint me so that I could sing for this man and his party, because he had his a large party of like 20 people with him. And I sang a song called "I Will Be Healed," and Lord, I felt it all over me when I sang it. So I hope he felt it. But I went ahead and I gave him a CD, and he told me it gave him a good feeling, and that's called, you know, the anointing of God, because we pray over all my songs before we record them in the studio. So that was a very priceless moment to me.
Oh, wow.
And other than that, I would say in Seoul, Korea, at Pastor Harada's church, because when I wasn't in church and I would be out all hours of the night with my friends, you know, going to the clubs, and next day, Sunday morning, I would be at Starbucks across the street from that church and think, why are they so noisy? I was so annoyed by this church. And do you know, probably several months later, I was standing in front of that church singing for that church. And God laid it on my heart to speak to that church and to tell them what I used to do, how I used to make fun of them and talk about them. And they all looked so shocked. And then I said, "I'm telling you this because while I was sitting across the street from your church, God was breaking the yoke of bondage that I carried in my life for years. And I'm here standing in front of you to tell you that no matter how far you go, no matter what you've done in your life, no matter how low you've gone, I don't care if you're down in the absolute gutter, God will forgive you and bring you back." And to me, that was an incredible, incredible moment, because I had done a 180 in my life. And shortly thereafter, I was baptized on the military base in the swimming pool by Pastor Harada.
Oh, wow. Wow. It's funny because in a lot of ways what you're saying, you know, brings back certain memories in me. And I was raised as a Roman Catholic. And when I moved to South Carolina, I kind of like had distanced myself from the church. I wasn't happy with a lot of things they were doing. You know, I'm a conservative. And some of the things I've seen that they were doing was going against their very teachings. And, you know, I'm a retired police officer, and some things I saw on that side of the law really disturbed me, especially when it dealt with illegal immigration, so forth. And I just kind of like said, wait a minute, you know, this is hypocrisy I'm looking at. And it's only recently here in South Carolina, my husband and I started going back, but we didn't go to the Catholic Church. Instead, we went to the Episcopal Church. And for some reason, I feel more comfortable. And I guess that's what a lot of these churches fail to understand, you know, the need to have that comfort zone where a person feels comfortable in allowing their beliefs to come to fulfillment.
Oh, I think that's that's awful true. As a Roman Catholic, you know what? I think we're wrapped up in names of churches and denominations of churches. Christ is everywhere. Christ is at the bus stop. He's within people who know their whole life, the moment of truth is now upon them, and see the salvation and see his spirit. And they ask him to, they put their soul and their heart into Christ's hands. And I mean, it's just everywhere. And with this music, the music touches, as she said, it touched somebody who's not even of Christian faith. And Christ works in just amazing, mysterious ways. I'll tell you one thing, your music is very good, but it also grabs a lot more attention. I said, when people can relate to it, and it just runs through your body like a rush of something. You almost are doing somersaults. So
that's the anointing. That is amazing. That's the anointing.
Yeah, well, what is kind of a change to, what are like some of your hobbies? What do you like to do? Like, what kind of foods do you like to eat in your free time? What's Vanessa like to do?
Oh, I like to collect paintings. I am obsessive about paintings. Anybody that knows me knows that. I shop for paintings. Every country I go to, I buy paintings. And I buy furniture from, like, in my sitting room, I have three paintings from Vietnam and a Kakegiku scroll painting from Japan. And I have a table from Korea and a trunk from Korea and a koto instrument from Japan. You know, my house is like a little Asia.
What is that you just said? What is that, a choko or what is that?
A koto, K-O-T-O. I'm sure you've seen pictures of the Japanese woman wearing the kimono sitting in the floor, and there's this really long wooden instrument with strings. It's like 6 feet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like their version of a banjo.
Oh, okay.
That's the best way I can describe it. You know,
it's
long.
It's 6 feet. It's taller than me. It has like, I don't even know how many strings it has. I want to say six or eight.
Okay.
And they sit in the floor and they play it. And that's a koto. And I have that in my sitting room.
Wow.
That's tight, man. That house must be cool. Wow, that's pretty cool. So,
well,
like, what do you like to eat?
It's in the works.
Oh. What do you, like, what kind of restaurants do you like? What kind of foods do you like?
Well, last week I went to an Indian restaurant, and then a couple of days later I went to the Korean restaurant. I'm very, very partial to Korean food, especially kimchi and dosat bibimbap and chapchae. And then I like to go to the Indian restaurant also, and I like all sorts of things at the Indian restaurant too.
Wow. And now, have you been following the news at all?
Not much. I watch CNN somewhat when I'm on the treadmill.
All right. Are you familiar with Tim Tebow?
Who?
Tim Tebow. He is a quarterback in the NFL.
Oh, yes.
And he's known for doing the kneeling and praying to God every time he did a fantastic play. Well, on Father's Day, he was on stage with the pastor doing a sermon. And I want to play a little bit of this for you. It's only about a minute long, and I want you to give me some of your feedback on it. So this is Tebow on a Father's Day sermon talking about inspiration from Braveheart and from his father. Here we go.
So Tim Tebow actually delivered a sermon yesterday. He was in San Diego at Qualcomm Stadium, and there he is with the pastor of a church that rented the place for a Father's Day message. And it's interesting, Tim Tebow talked a little bit about fathers and how his father, Bob, had taught him so many core values. And believe it or not, a lot of those core values were reflected in the Mel Gibson movie Braveheart. Tim Tebow. This has nothing to do with Harvey Weinstein, who's here in the studio.
We have to
try to be
movie
then related. Yeah. Anyway, here is Tim Tebow on Braveheart and how it impacted his life.
And whatever.
had the biggest impact on my life, because every time I'd go to practice from then on out, I'd always think about what my dad said to me. Do I really love what I'm doing? Are you passionate about it? You know, passion isn't something that comes and goes. Passion is something that comes from deep down. Are you really passionate about it? And are you willing to sacrifice? Because if you have those three things, and whatever it is that you're trying to accomplish, I think you're probably going to be pretty successful.
Wow. But you have that passion, Vanessa.
Yes, and my dad, he taught me the same sort of way, not the same things, but my dad did do that. He's the reason I am the person I am today. He taught me my humanity, my relationship with God, how to treat people. And to this day, people constantly tell me what a kind man my father was, what a good man, how he helped him do this. I hear this all the time. Your dad took time to help me learn how to write a song, and I learned all of that from my father. I'll tell you, the parents are the ones that will form you for the rest of your life. You know, my dad used to tell me, Vanessa, he would tell me, if you want to be successful, separate yourself from the rest and do it different. And he always has something to tell me like that.
Wow. You know, so basically you're saying the same thing that I've been saying, that we believe in a hand up, not a hand out. People have to be willing to reach for a goal. So this idea of government being the nanny state, it's not going to work, because the government can't produce a good I'm trying to think of the proper word I want to use, but you know, government raising the children is not going to have the same effect as a parent raising that child and bestowing upon that child good moral values.
Right. No, we need the parents. The parents have got to be responsible for their children, and the result of that child is basically in their hands, what they make out of that child. I believe that, really. I mean, of course, there's a certain extent, you know, that they've done their job, and then it's up to you when you grow up. But I know that what my dad taught me will influence me for the rest of my life. And I'm so, so grateful for the mother and father I have had in my life.
Yeah, and what's also I'm finding is that in today's society, instead of taking responsibility for your own actions, everyone will turn around and say, well, it's because I didn't have two parents in my house, or because I didn't have an iPod, or it's the Twinkie defense. Instead of saying that, hey, yeah, I screwed up, I'm responsible for that, and all right, now I'm going to take my lumps. Yeah, where is people taking responsibility for their own lives? Instead, they put their hand out and say, nope, you've got to do this all for me now.
That's wrong. I really don't agree with that at all. You know, I've worked for everything I've ever gotten in my life. I worked for it. I got it. My father taught me, you get a job, you go to work, you be responsible for your life. And that's what I've done. And everybody in my family is the same. We all go to work. We all pay our bills and do what we have to do, you know, to get through life. And if I make a mistake, I'll be the first person to own it and say I did it and I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I mean, it goes down to, like, little simple courtesies, you know, that are missing. Even now, people will make an appointment with you and be an hour late, and they don't even pick up the phone to call you. It's like, I don't know what's happened to people, but, you know, that's, like, zero respect and saying, you know, my time is more important than yours. But whatever happened, you know, to the respect and I think we need to get all of that back. And it starts again, I believe it starts with the family, with the parents.
Yeah, it's true. And unfortunately, we've got a government now that feels that they have to raise us. You know, public schools are being run by the federal government and not by the people of the community where the children are. You know, the community itself knows what that child needs in order to survive, not the federal government. You know, what you may be teaching in Ohio may not work in Florida. You know, one size fits all does not work.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah. I mean, no. Can you imagine if we had American curriculum in the Japanese classroom, how far that would go? You know,
it
And the same goes with religious. Oh, go ahead, Annie. Sorry.
No, go ahead. No, you are right,
Mike. I was going to say the same goes with anything in life. There are private schools. There are Baptists, Reforms, Catholic, blah, blah, etc. And in life, there's just, we have choices, we have directions, we have just everything. We have all kinds of things in front of us. And, yeah, here's another thing. Some people, it sounds like Vanessa's father, really followed the light of life at a very young age, and some people don't. Sometimes halfway down the road, people decide to jump on. Sometimes people don't at all. But, I mean, in life, we have our choices. We have our options. They're there for us to make, whether to turn left or right, whether to work hard or not work hard, whether to live off the government or live off ourselves, whether to follow Christ, be a soldier of the cross or not. And bottom line is that now all of a sudden it's like follow Barack Obama. We won't get into politics now, but the bottom line is that these are choices that we make, because ultimately our Constitution says we are endowed, or our Declaration says we are endowed by our Creator, not our Constitution. So anyway, there's my soapbox rant on politics. I had another question for Vanessa. How about you? I don't know if people in showbiz don't know. Are you married? Ever been married? You know, you don't have to answer that if you don't want to. Like, well, you know, what drives you? I mean, other than obviously your beautiful songs.
I'm not married, no. I've never been married. I don't have children either. I've spent my life on the airplane.
But you are engaged. You have a fiancé, correct?
What?
No. You have a boyfriend?
Oh, geez.
these men want to know because they see a beautiful blonde in the picture, and they all want to know.
Well,
I have a feeling Vanessa's a handful.
I'm single. That's all I'm going to say is I'm single.
I was going to say, I have a feeling, Vanessa, you have a very calm demeanor most of the times. How accurate is that?
Well, I'm pretty much the same all the time, for the most part, you know. But you know, I have my temper too. I'm human. some things will really annoy me, like disrespect and lying, things like that. It just goes against everything I believe in. So I have almost. Well, I don't know. I think I have zero tolerance for that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
You fall in line perfect with our host, because she's wonderful, too. You lie to her, you give her sass back. Annie's a retired cop. I don't know if you know that, from New York. So.
Oh, I heard that. She said that earlier.
You can't listen to New York in my voice.
So what she's doing with a career criminal for a co-host, who knows? I said, what she's doing with a career criminal for a co-host, I don't know. But so when I have a question regarding. I was asking you about some of the songs. What was the song I asked you about? I totally had having a mental lapse right now. The one that Hendrix was your Too Holy.
He released God Will Provide first. And it charted number 72, and then he released You Are Holy after that.
Yes. What inspired that song from you?
Which one?
The second one.
God Will Provide or You're Holy?
You're Holy.
You're Holy, yeah.
Oh, I have to tell you, a guy on Facebook, a Pastor Don Akar from Meghalaya, India, he contacted me. He had heard my music, and he sent me a video of a previous crusade that they had and asked me to watch it and asked me if I would, you know, come to India. So I watched the video, and I have to tell you, I wept. I just felt something in me just shatter, just break, and I watched hundreds of people cry, and children especially. They had their hands up in the air worshiping God with, I mean, really sincerely worshiping God. And I sit in front of the video and cried and cried and cried. And I thought about this video for, I know, 2-3 days. And one afternoon I walked in to my hotel room and I laid down in the bed. And this is not usually how I get my songs, but all of a sudden it just came out of me. You are holy, so holy. You are holy, so holy. I felt like it was the Holy Spirit just singing through me. And God gave me the rest of the song, and I recorded it. And I remember when I walked into the studio and I first heard the tracks, the backing vocals came in. And as soon as she started listening, she put her hands up in the air. She started praying. There's just such a heavy anointing on this song. And now my friend Pastor Spangler and I are going to Meghalaya, India, along with some other friends, Becky Jackson and Grace from Korea. We're going there for a crusade, and I'm going to sing that song and shoot a music video right there where the video was that I originally watched. I think it's just going to be an incredible time, and I think there's going to be hundreds and hundreds of people saved, delivered, healed. I just think it's going to be amazing.
Wow. Well, I'm going to play that song now then, You Are Holy, Vanessa, so that everyone can hear the studio version of it. Here we go.
I'm going to put out the speakers too.
Jehovah, my counselor, my Prince of Peace, Almighty God, you're everything to me. Oh, I cling to you, Jesus, in spirit and in truth, and every day, my Lord, I move closer to you. My Lord, you are.
I don't know. For some reason, it just stopped.
Vanessa's agent must have found out we don't have copyrights or something.
Yes, I'm here.
They put the kibosh on us.
Oh, no. It has to be something with BTR because all of a sudden the song just stopped.
That was yesterday.
I'm so sorry.
Yesterday was my parents', it was their wedding anniversary, rest my dad's soul. But I was listening to that. And it really kind of, almost like in movies where you see somebody's kind of reflecting. I really reflected back upon just my parents and what a wonderful marriage they had. And you never, as a child, you didn't understand how, you couldn't grasp their passion and their direction that Christ gave them. As a little kid, you just don't get it. Why am I getting dragged to church every morning? I mean, my mom always dragged me to church. But that song really helped bring back some, just some tears that really brought some great memories that you find yourself sometimes doing the things your father did or that your mother did, or you're saying to other people the things that they taught you. And, you know, we talk about the wonderful generation of the World War II people. We overlook the fact that there is just a huge generation that spiritually was guided. It helped them through the war. It helped them through the Depression. You know what? Helped them raise their family and their kids. And you know, marriage problems didn't just originate yesterday. They had problems then, too. But you know what? They worked hard on them because Christ was their ultimate pastor. He was the evangelizer. And, I mean, I think that song really, really just grasped me, like probably about 3 in the morning our time. Oh, yeah, right around there. That's a beautiful song.
Thank you.
Now, I want to read something that came across in today's paper. You said a couple of things, World War II, passion and, you know, responsibility. And this just recently passed away. And it's written by Dave Lauderdale, who was a contributor to our Beaufort Gazette here. And it reads, "If you think America has lost its way, don't blame Uncle John. He paid his debt to society and then some. John Gordon Creel passed away last week at 88. He was raised on a farm in Dorval, Georgia, and by age 4 can pick 40 pounds of cotton a day. His mother made so many biscuits for her family of 4 boys and a girl that she wore a hole in the bottom of her wooden biscuit bowl. That area is now known for spaghetti junction of twisted layers of concrete overpasses on I-285, the autobahn around."
Annie, I think your mic's gone bad.
Really?
Yeah, we dropped you. You're gonna have to tap on that, tap on your mic.
Huh?
I said you got to tap on it. We can hear you now, but you kind of went silent for about 5-6 seconds.
Oh, all right.
Gee, you need to go to the dollar store and get your Dollar General where I got my mic. You got all that fancy equipment.
This was not a $1.99 mic. That's for sure.
Right, well, go ahead. Why don't you? We lost it. You had mentioned don't blame the, and you mentioned the guy's name, and then you kind of went silent. So why don't you start from there?
All right. He was raised on a farm in Doraville, Georgia, and by age 4 could pick 40 pounds of cotton a day. His mother made so many biscuits for her family of 4 boys and a girl that she wore a hole in the bottom of a wooden biscuit bowl. That area now is known for the spaghetti junction of twisted layers of concrete overpasses on I-285, the autobahn around Atlanta. But then it was a place where the Creels knew they had to work hard behind mules named Maud, Kate, Emma, and Rhoda, or starve. Uncle John and his brothers went off to fight tyranny in World War II. 5 military medals were framed on a wall in his room at Kentwood Extended Care in Augusta. They surrounded a photo of a boyish artillery corporal who somehow came home from battles in Normandy, northern France, Germany, Belgium, and the Battle of the Bulge. He went to college and was a rural letter carrier for 33 years. He and his wife, Anita, an elementary school teacher, paid cash for the cars, as well as the red brick home where they raised 2 daughters down the slope from the old family barn. He helped Anita successfully fulfill her lifetime goal of seeing all 50 state capitals. Uncle John recently read the Bible through in 4 months. Though he had lost sight in one eye, he studied biblical commentary and was a church officer, and at one time taught Sunday school reading to children from The Bird Life in Wington by the Reverend John Calvin Reed, a former pastor at First Presbyterian Church on Hilton Head Island. He also cooked a pot of greens for the church supper every Wednesday night. Uncle John loved Atlanta Braves and always planted the garden. He grew delicious butter beans and a row of cotton just to remind him he didn't have to mess with it anymore. He was a quiet man who called his daughters every morning and seemed to relish the blur of his 5 young grandchildren. It always seemed to me that Uncle John paid society at every turn, but there was more. Only at his funeral did I learn that in the 1980s, Uncle John learned the amount of the national debt and what it would cost every citizen to pay it off. He wrote a check for his portion and mailed it to his U.S. senator's office. The government cashed the check and sent a thank you note. His daughters don't think it was a large sum like it would have been today. To repay the national debt of $15.8 trillion today would cost each citizen $50,357. In the 1980s, the debt rose from $4,000 to $12,000 per person. The government gladly accepts personal checks to repay the public debt, or by check, or appropriately enough, credit card. So far this fiscal year, the U.S. Department of the Treasury has received $5.8 million. Instead of all that, America should simply switch to Uncle John's example and turn Congress out with the mules or starve. Is that awesome?
That certainly is.
Yes, it's very incredible. I think America needs to return to Christian values again. Don't you think so?
Oh,
that
how
simple
can we
thing.
Argue with you on the line, Vanessa? Absolutely. Oh, I don't think there's any question. It's still taboo to mention God and to talk about the Bible in our public school. But if you really think about it, when did the decline start? And, you know, throughout history, and even Noah's Ark was all about that. And, yes, I think that we need more spiritual guidance. Someone made a comment to me one time that it really, really, like, I don't know, hit me like a bolt of lightning. I don't know whether that's you or Vanessa getting text messages left and right, but I keep hearing the text messages.
Yeah,
live.
I keep on hearing little bleeps.
It's got to be Vanessa, all her fan clubs, like, marry me, girl. But the point is, they made a comment about a...
I can't turn Skype off.
Don't worry about it. Vanessa, you, I friend requested you on Facebook, by the way. But here's my statement that this person made. They said the person was being ridiculed by, I won't say an atheist, but a very much a non-believer. I think at one point maybe the person was... Either way. And the person made a statement that a person who's very devoted made a statement that really, like, I don't know, it just hit me in the face like a baseball bat. The person said, you know what? Said, you can believe the way you want, and I can believe the way I want. Said, but if you said, no, you'll be disappointed if what happens when you find it when you die. Guy said, you know what? He said, I'd rather find out my way than yours. And I thought... Wow, and it came from a person I thought always, this person just never said anything that ever made sense. So it's like, wow, finally, 10 years later, the person said something that, but it's very true, and I think you're right. I think more of us need spiritual guidance. More of us just need to be devoted to something other than a material thing or just the lifestyles we have become accustomed to put before everything and anything.
Yeah, that's kind of like that saying that goes, God is dead, sign it, Nietzsche. And later on you see on the same wall, Nietzsche's dead, sign to God.
Well, God is the root of everything that we should build our lives on. And I think when you have the erosion of spiritual beliefs and commitment to God, this is what we have. We have marriages that don't last. We have children into drugs. We have promiscuity. We have all these things that are completely ungodly, and we're no longer dedicating our lives or even the family values itself, where we used to be built, you know, on our faith, on God. I mean, it's gone.
Yeah,
it's gone. That's what's wrong with the youth now. In my opinion, that's what's wrong with them, because they are not having the Christian morals instilled in their life.
Yeah, it's this disposable society. Everything is so easy. And it's now, it's my right to a cell phone. Well, excuse me, show me where in the Constitution it's written that you have the right to get a free cell phone. The same thing with this free health care. Someone else is paying for it. And simply because someone else is paying for it doesn't mean it doesn't cost us. And people get this disposable mentality out and the give me, give me, give me mentality, and instead say, what good can I do today and for the rest of my life? Maybe we might not have half the problems we have today.
I mean,
if you think about it, people... We have become so accustomed to, okay, don't worry about it. We're going to get it from government. There is a, for those who are believers, and who doesn't struggle at time with believing? Life is not easy, but for those who believe, they ultimately know they will get through the hard times. They'll find right problems for their marital issues or their social or economic problems because they stand on a strong moral foundation. And yes,
that's right. They can pray and they can ask God.
Well, but that's the thing, is that we make it easy. Just ask. Government will do this for you. What do we need God for? Easy, you know, blah, blah, blah. And people are so, they haven't been raised with the mentality. You have constantly referred in this interview to your father. And sadly, most people, a lot of these people never even had a dad. And if they did, he wasn't that kind of father. And the bottom line is that those who are challenged spiritually and climb the mountaintop, not only do they stay there, but they get there with such strength because to get there was hard. Not because it was easy, because it was hard, that strengthened their faith that Christ would lead the way. Because even though you walk in the valley of death, you don't fear. But you have to have that. And sadly, we have lost a majority of that. Not just that, but it's somehow wrong to bring this conversation up at the cafe or at the restaurant or like hell it is. You go jump off a cliff, you stick it in your ass, you're going to tell me not to talk about Christ wherever I want. I mean, Jesus Christ himself did that. He went to the drunks and the dopers, and he evangelized to the bottom of the barrel. I'm sorry, Annie, I cut you off. Man, listen to me. I was just jumping around, boy.
You know what? Those are the people that need it. Those are the people that, you know, that we have to help. And here's the thing. At the end of everybody's life, when they leave this earth, they have got to stand before God. They are responsible for how they live their life. And before the end of time, every person on this earth will hear the gospel, and they will have the option to accept God into their life or not. So as far as I'm concerned, you know, that's what I'm out here for. I'm out here to spread the gospel. I'm out here to reach those people that didn't have a dad like mine, you know, to teach me about God and how much he loved me and all that God could mean in my life for me. You know, that's what ministers of the gospel are for. And, yeah, I'm going to go right into the bar. I'm going to go right wherever God sends me. And I'm going to sit down with those people just like Jesus sat down with those people. You know, they need help.
Yeah, and now that's going to bring me over to your song, I'll See You in the Rapture. I wanted to save the best for last. And I want to play that for you. All right, Vanessa? We got Vanessa Feltner here. I'll See You in the Rapture. For those of you that are tuning in looking for Xander Demos, he had to back out last minute, literally at the 11th hour last night. So instead, we have lovely Vanessa Feltner here, and this is her song, I'll See You in the Rapture.
My dad wrote this one.
Okay. This is written by your dad here. Thank you.
If we never meet again on this earth, my precious friend, if to God we have been true and we've lived above our sin, then for
Okay,
wow.
That was Vanessa Feltner. I'll see you in the rapture. Now, Vanessa, if anyone wanted to download your music or buy it, how would they go about doing that?
They can listen to it on Reverb Nation, or they can contact me on Facebook. I'm in the process now of having my website redone, so that should be online shortly, and they can buy it that way, or they can just contact me direct on Facebook.
And you
I'll,
use your
I'll
name,
your
Vanessa
Facebook
Feltner.
On.
Okay,
I'll post the link. I friend requested her, so I will. I will post.
Good.
Yeah, I said that like 4 or 5 times, but you know, just the nothing but a little co-host around here. Nobody listens to poor cool Mike.
Yeah, you're cool Mike.
Oh yeah, of course. Have either one of you, Annie or Vanessa, have you ever heard of Reverend Lockridge? He wrote "That's My King."
No, I haven't.
Vanessa?
I don't think so.
I know we're winding down the show, but give a listen to this. Yeah, I uploaded it because I wanted you both to hear this. I recently heard it.
Okay.
The Bible says my king is the king of the Jews. He's a king of Israel. He's a king of righteousness. He's a king of the ages. He's a king of heaven. He's a king of glory. He's the king of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. That's my king. I wonder, do you know him? My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient savior. I wonder if you know him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captives. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he beautifies the meek. I wonder if you know him. He's a key to knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom. He's a doorway of deliverance. He's a pathway of peace. He's a roadway of righteousness. He's the highway of holiness. He's a gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy. And his burden is light. I wish I could describe him to you. Yes, he's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. You can't get him out of your mind. You can't get him off of your hand. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, the Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him. And the grave couldn't hold him. Yeah! That's my king. That's my king.
Amen. There it is. There you have it. I thought I'd share that with both of you.
Thank you.
Yeah, that was fun.
You're welcome. Right. By the way, my last words to you, other than thank you for being here, Vanessa, will be, Red is your color, girl. And I'll leave it at that because I'm already going to get yelled at off the air. Yeah, well, I'm going to get yelled at by Annie off the air just for making that comment. But trust me, red is your color, girl.
Thank you. Vanessa, I want to thank you for joining us today, especially the last minute, the 11th hour. It's been a lot of fun, and I'm inviting you back to come on anytime. Let me know, and we'll bring you back on and do some more of your music.
I really enjoyed it. Thank you so much for having me.
All right, and for those still listening, up in the chat room is a link to Vanessa's Facebook page. She's Vanessa Feltner on Facebook. My teeth have gotten a little backwards here. But everyone, remember to join us again Tuesday. We'll be back here again, same bat time, same bat station, 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And our guest this Tuesday is the hysterically funny Eric Golub. He is a conservative comedian, and he will be joining us. Also, he's a best-selling author, too. So join us again on Tuesday as we have some more fun here on Southern Sense. So until then, I want you all to have a very safe and healthy and happy weekend, and wishing you now a good night and God bless. Until then, good night.
Good afternoon, everybody.
Good night.
If you find yourself in trouble, count on me, my friend. I'll get right up in trouble.
You've been listening to Southern Sense Blog Talk Radio. Producer and your hostess extraordinaire is Ann Ubelis. The theme music, American Stand Up, is written and performed by Don Fortney. For more from Don, check out his webpage, teapartymusic.webs.com. Southern Sense is a proud member of Ghost Fighter Radio and Freedom Media Network. Southern Sense is common sense. Take it out, Don.
American.
American.